Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
What's up, hustlers? It's Andrew Morgans here, host of Startup Hustle, covering all things Amazon and e-commerce. Before we get into today's episode of Startup Hustle, we are sponsored by Helium 10, cutting-edge software that helps you grow your business on Amazon. Startup Hustle listeners get 50% off their first month of Helium 10 Platinum when you go to helium10.com and use the code HUSTLE at checkout. Don't wait to get 50% off your first month. Go to helium10.com and use code HUSTLE. We're going to be talking about all things products and how to make mighty good products. Ben Rendo from Mighty Good, mightygoodsolutions.com. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Last time I think we were scheduled to go on, like most entrepreneurs, most founders, there was one of those days we had everything. I think you actually gave me a day in advance, which is insane. You're actually like, I have some stuff happening. I'm not even going to be able to get on the show tomorrow. Let's reschedule. That's what happens. That's what happens in founder life when you have like real stuff going on. You got fires you have to put out. But I'm really glad to have you on the show. I haven't had a local manufacturer on the show yet. So for me, that's really cool. And I'm working with several companies myself, whether it's a company I've acquired, actually a smaller e-commerce company that does products, launching products. I have one I'm launching from scratch, which is one of those commodity type products. I'm not going to say it online because I'm dealing with Amazon listeners, but it's really cool. And it's going to be really cool to kind of hear your side of manufacturing. I work with manufacturers all day, every day, but more so from a point of they have a product line. They want to get on Amazon. They're hiring me to help them, go direct. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me, we started the story just a little bit, and I'm going to make you repeat yourself just a little bit, but I think you've been doing this about 9 years, it sounds like, with Mighty Good Solutions. Like, how did it all get started?
Sure. So I'm from Kansas City. I grew up in the Northland, went to Mizzou, graduated in 03, started out in finance in St. Louis, got transferred back to Kansas City in 06. And at the time, my wife and I were living in a crappy walk-up apartment. And every week, I'd go grocery shopping and come home and just crab claw the bags and try to lug them up through flights of stairs. Mm-hmm. There had to be a better way. And so came up with an idea for a niche product that you could use to carry all your grocery bags in one trip. Fast forward about 6 years, I can't stop thinking about this idea. I'm my normal day job, but this has taken up most of my frontal cortex. I think it's a great idea. I think it would serve shoppers, and I think we could sell a ton of it. And so, as I said to you earlier, if anybody said this to me now, I'd say, don't do it.
Because you know now how much hard work it is.
Well, I wouldn't say don't do that. I would say wait until you have success built before you go all in, because I had no success built and said, I'm going to quit my day job, empty 401k, going to downsize and move to a tiny shack of a house and invest in tooling so we can start making this product. And so did that. And then started selling them locally. My wife and I would stay up, till 2-3 a.m. packaging them by hand.
And these are reusable grocery bags, right? Just for anyone listening, like, am I close or what did you make as your first product?
Sure. So Mighty Handle is an ergonomic grip with a hook like an anchor, and you use it so you can carry all your grocery bags in.
Got it. Okay.
And so, we were selling on Amazon. I'd run a U-Haul to make deliveries to the grocery chains in the Midwest. And then I got connected, to an awesome woman named Anita Newton, who she joined me, as an investor. And then basically is, someone that would help us grow.
Helped you scale early on.
Scale. And so, Anita and I took it to Walmart in 2014, their first Made in USA summit. And they said, we'll give you a test. We'll test you in 100 stores. And so they tested it. It blew out. And then by the following summer, it was in all 4,600 Walmarts.
It's incredible.
Went into Target and Kroger and on the Home Shopping Network. But something that we realized was, these type of kind of niche products, customer will buy them once, but they're not coming back to buy them again. Mm-hmm. And it's great because we can serve them and we can meet a real need. But from a business perspective, I want to sell you something that you're going to buy every 2 to 6 weeks. And so we moved into, started looking at moving into health and hygiene. And so we split the company into two divisions. So MG.
Was that because of COVID? Like, can I ask, or was that already happening before, that big change that you guys pivoted into two divisions, or was that like based on need, or was that just based on product development and like your interests?
All the above. So we started looking at areas that we could, do more consumables. And then we started manufacturing consumables, started out with making face shields, and then COVID hit, and there was a real vacuum in the market. Something that Mighty is very good at is we make high quality product inexpensively, and we deliver on time.
That's enough. Like, show up and care and, be on time. And then, as someone that handled, so Marknology has about 50 brands that we handle on a monthly basis that we're like helping them source product, make product, get it on Amazon, logistics, all of that. And I mean, some of the biggest challenges during the pandemic managing those stores was supply chain. So whether they're pivoting to different manufacturers, whether they're trying to get in different 3PLs, getting stuff on time was, a nightmare. And I can sell millions of dollars worth of product on Amazon. If there's no product, there's no product, Absolutely. So it don't matter. Mm-hmm.
And we're good at managing complex supply chains. Where we're at now, we sell either under our own Mighty Good brands, or we also do private label. And in our health and hygiene space, we make hand sanitizer, sanitizing hand wipes, flushable toilet wipes, for one of the largest medical distributors in the country. We're getting ready to start producing their private label wipes. And then we've since moved into where we are making syringes and hospital gowns and things that I will never be the smartest guy in the room, and I'm comfortable with that. But I do want to partner with people that are very smart in those spaces. And so we've either created partnerships or even brought in-house people from both big box retail as well as medical distribution. And so that's just skyrocketed our growth. And that's kind of where we are now.
No, that's amazing. And thank you for sharing. One thing we miss, and you share as much as you want, but you talked about going all in, which is a saying that I absolutely love. I just think it's simple, but it just really says a lot. And you know, we didn't talk about what you gave up when you took the leap in. You're talking about being at your 9-to-5 and just like thinking about this all the time. And I think there's a lot of people that can probably relate to that. I was definitely someone, I was a little bit different than you in that I had some experience, not in business so much, but had been building my thing on the side before I like took my leap, you know, probably for like a year and a half, 2 years, I'd been building it on the side before I took my leap. Do you mind sharing what you were doing kind of when you had this big idea that you've been sitting on? You know, what kind of position were you in before you said, hey, I'm going to start a manufacturing company and jump all in?
Sure. So I worked in software sales on business development. Okay. Worked at a really good company with really good people. And I probably had a decent career trajectory ahead of myself. I wouldn't have been able to stay in Kansas City. I would have had to move and probably move multiple times. But I wanted something different, like
building something instead of just
something. Yeah. You know, I think things can be better, and I think my team and I can have a direct impact on doing that. And so something that helped me and probably was the most important thing is my wife, Tracy, was super supportive. Instead of being like, you know, what the hell are you talking about? You want to go start selling a grocery bag handle? Like, you have no experience in this. You have no experience in product design. You have no experience in calling on big box retail. But she was like, I believe in you. I think we can do it. And thank God it worked, because if not, I'd probably be buried in my backyard right now.
No, that's awesome. And credit where credit is due. But no, I think that it directly translates to, like I was a bartender. I've done like so many things before I got into what I'm doing now. But I think I look back now, you know, just thinking about how all those things set me up to be successful at what I'm doing now. For example, software sales, you know, you didn't just turn into a maker, but a maker that could sell some stuff. I think that that's important. You talk about how many stores you got into early, and you had, whether it was cold calling, whether it was taking leads and running with them, like software sales is a big, I talk to software sales guys all the time in my space, you know? And so having those, you know, for me, I went to school for networking and security. And so I took 5 languages in school back then. They had to just learn all this code and different stuff. And it doesn't translate to my business now. But looking back on it, you know, I'm really able to take kind of a system or a process and then reverse engineer it. And I'm not an engineer. I'm not any of those things. But it was kind of just like these little things I didn't even know in my life were setting me up to essentially be able to take on some of these new challenges and be, you know, confident in doing so. I was sitting on in a networking knock, just, you know, getting paid more than I had been paid. And software sales is very lucrative. People are trying to get into software sales now, you know, because it's just, you can sell unlimited amounts of something, you know. And I was sitting there, I was just like, I was kind of doing cool stuff in regards to, I was working at MasterCard. I liked my fellow employees. You know, we got attacked by Anonymous at the time. That was kind of cool when I was there, you know, because of the WikiLeaks. We turned off support for him. And so I was there when that happened at MasterCard and a couple other things. But I was just sitting there and I was like, you know, I can do more than this. I can do more than just like call up a networking knock at a bank and tell them their router's down and they need to reset it and get technicians out there and kind of just problem solving at a super easy level. And I was just like, you know, I didn't even know what I was going to be doing. I hadn't been obsessing about this idea for years and years and years, but I definitely knew what I didn't want to do. And that was just to like sit and get old in a dark room, you know, honestly, with guys that were like wrapping up their careers versus guys starting their careers. And I just had to do something drastic. And so I moved into a startup in e-commerce and fell in love with e-commerce, and the rest is history. But I bring out those details just to share with anyone listening. We have like new founders, old founders, people thinking about taking the leap. And I just like to know what's in the mindset. You know, what's in your mindset? What drives you? People think like, oh, I just always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I always wanted to be a builder. I always wanted to be in my dad was in manufacturing. And you're like, no, sometimes it's just, you've got an idea you can't let go. And for me, it was, once I got into e-commerce, it was like, Amazon is going to be so powerful. And brands are going to need to know all this stuff and no one knows it. And that was my obsession. And it's been 9 years going. But that's so cool. I want to talk about more of the stuff you're making, and like tooling and how you just like go into garments from making bottles or go into, you know, making a, let's say a stainless steel claw or a metal claw into now making, you know, syringes and medical garments. How does that kind of transition happen? Is it like advice? Do you have a board kind of saying like, are you doing product research on products, or is it really just you have a big, maybe you have a big client or, you know, a big box retailer that's kind of telling you what they need, and then you're going out there and filling that need? Is that kind of how it's happening as you grow into more of these consumable areas, I guess?
It is. And so everything with us starts with, you know, either if it's medical distribution, healthcare, or big box retail is one opportunity. And so we historically have gotten in, proven that we do that we say we're going to do. We deliver when we say we're going to deliver, and the product is what we said it is. And if you can do that, at Mighty Good, we have a saying that drives everything we do. And it's simple enough for a dummy like me. It's do the next right thing. It doesn't matter what that is, do the next right thing. The next right thing is making the next sales call. The next right thing is staying late in order to make sure product goes out. The next right thing is seeing white space in the market where we can make product that'll benefit consumers. We do that. And it's something super simple. But if you stick to that, you can build a good reputation in whatever markets you are. And the other thing we do, and it's the only reason we're here, the only reason we're still here and haven't went under, and that we've, knock on wood, been able to be pretty successful, is we don't give up.
Relentlessness.
Absolutely. I don't like being beat. You know, I was always an average athlete, but one sport I started later in life is boxing. And there's a lot of that mindset that you could be taking a beating in the ring, you know, get knocked down. Sometimes you can get knocked out. You got to get back up.
I love that.
Nobody's going to give it to you, you know, and as much as I wish it was, there is no magic person that you're going to meet that is going to change your trajectory. Like, it's a combination of meeting people and building your network. But you have to do it, and you have to put in the work. And by you, I mean your team, because that's the only way, that's the only way we've been able to get where we wanted to go and where we still want to go.
I love that. I love that. And I think that I have a lot of the same values. You know, I attribute a lot of my drive in that regard and my ability, my perspective around relentlessness and not giving up and things like that. Like, I grew up in Africa. I grew up in like very dangerous rural environments, Congo, Kinshasa, Cameroon, even small time in Moscow. And when you're around people that can't just replace the things they break, they can't just replace, you know, we talk about buying something every 2 weeks. That's not the case in Africa. You know, like if your dog bites a cord and cuts it in half, they're going to splice it and put it back together, you know. Or if you're, the AC on the end of that cord blows because it's 220 or something like that, they're going to like take it apart and fix that fuse. And they're just like, you know, I tell this story, I've told it, I think, one other time, but we were on the way from Cameroon to this other village. My dad was like teaching English. He would speak, he was a missionary, teach English and kind of speak to the pastors and kind of like educate them in a seminary type of thing. This is way back before social media and all those things. So for the haters, they can just let that go. There was no reason other than to help people. But we're on this road. It's my dad, myself, my mom, and one sister. And if you got caught out in Africa, like in between the roads at night, it was very dangerous. Whether there was militia, whether there were snakes, whether there's ants that would like just consume you, like it was the bush. It was literally the bush. We were in Cameroon at this time, and the Jeep broke down. There's no lights. Africa is very dark out in the bush, and there's no lights. And just understanding the seriousness of the situation, we were a couple hours from where we needed to be. We had the fan belt broke. And my dad's not a mechanic, not even close. He is more of like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory than he is anything else. Okay. And so we were out there by ourselves, and knowing that he had his family out there, it was surprising, like, what he was able to accomplish, what he was able to get done. And he actually took our spare tire, cut it into strips, and then used those strips as temporary belts on the fan to limp us into the next town. And I'll tell that story because I'm just like, he had nothing at his disposal. He wasn't a mechanic. This isn't what he was good at. But he just said, I'm not going to quit. This is my family out here. You know, I'm going to get us there. And little lessons like that just led me to think differently. I think even as a young man growing up here in Kansas City, I'm from the Northland as well. And it was just like, I'm not the best athlete. I'm not the best brain. I'm not the best student. I'm not the best, you know, but it was just kind of that. Well, what do you do when quitting isn't an option? Well, you just like, you know, you figure it out. You go all in until there is no backup plan. You just like, you know, you kind of figure it out. And I think that that's super important. Like, you know, I have a couple of companies. One of them, our slogan is more military than anything. There's only like five of us, but we're just like, show up and give a shit, you know? And it's like, because it's just dudes in this company. And we're just like, you know, we're just out here figuring stuff out with houses and projects and things like that. And it's just like, you know, our standard is show up and care, like care like it's your own, care like it's your name going on the project, be on time. You know, it's a simple thing in America these days, you know, but, you know, that's what sets you apart almost, is just like doing quality work, getting a reputation for being on time, doing the right thing every time. It's never the wrong move. So thanks for letting me share that story. But it was just like, to me, that's just that's what makes or breaks you when you're trying to launch something and really trying to get things going and get a reputation.
Absolutely. No. Just to kind of dovetail what you said, it's amazing what you can accomplish when there is no plan B. If it's, well, we're here, we have to get to the next point. There is no other option.
I have to sell, for example. Like, I didn't used to like go to the Buckle locally, right at the mall, like going to the Buckle.
Metro North?
Yeah, Metro North or Oak Park Mall. Like the girls in there were cute, sure. But like they were pushy. I hated going in there because I'm like not someone to say no. Like, you know, she's like, go try this on. And I'm like, no, like, you know, I've always been, I guess, like adverse to like pushy sales. But like becoming an owner, you know, sometimes it was like, I need to get some clients now, like this week. I have to do it. There is no backup plan. There is no like, I'm all in on this. Like, go out there and find some. And those kinds of things were the things that pushed me in the early days to do stuff way outside of my comfort zone. I'm a computer nerd guy. Like, you know, like I like to work on algorithms and, you know, stuff like that, not go out there and sell myself and get people to convince them to work with me or convince them to like me to do business. And when your back's against the wall, there is no plan B, you go all in.
Absolutely. And I do not like being sold. And so What we try to focus on is, you know, be it the buyer or the end use consumer, how are we making their life better? It's not, I'm trying to sell you this so I can hit my quota, so I can, you know, get this bonus. If we focus on giving either the direct buyer or the end user what they want or what's going to benefit them, we can sell. Because I've met people along the journey, is the only thing they were interested in is how am I going to line my pockets, care about, you know, what the end customer's going to experience is going to be. I don't care if this gets trashed. How am I going to make money and how much money am I going to make? If you focus on truly serving the customer, and, you know, as you said, give a shit, the customers will come, and it won't happen overnight. But as long as you keep doing the next right thing, they will come.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions for us, and I want to make sure we cover them. You know, I'm in the Amazon space, and exactly what you're saying is like, that's been Jeff Bezos's focus since he created that platform, was to get people to come into e-commerce, build customer profiles, but he built it for the customer. And that was something that I didn't reject. I kind of embraced it, I guess. Embrace his methodology of being like, this is not what eBay does. This isn't what Craigslist does. This isn't what Walmart does. This isn't what anyone else does, where it's not built for the seller to make it super easy or anything like that. It's like, this is built for the customer to have trust. And for if there's shitty products, for other people to be able to tell them, like, don't buy this product. And so, you know, in the early days, it was like, I'll take anyone that wants to learn, like, try to get product on Amazon. Like, let's go. I believe in this platform. And it was these early private labelers or like early adopters. And it's really matured over the last 10 years as far as like who's on Amazon and the quality of listings and the products. But if you have a shitty product, like, the customers are going to roast you. And I might sell several hundred units and get them out the door and get them in people's hands because I'm really good at it. But at the end of the day, that's going to come back. And so it became like pretty quickly understanding that this is just going to be a short term turn and burn. You know, if I take on these clients that don't actually have good quality products, like, we're going to get roasted. And I got comfortable telling brands that their stuff was shit, like, in nicer words, but being like, listen, guys, I've got the samples. Like, I'm really concerned that this product is going to, you know, it's going to not review well. You know, and people can be sensitive about that, but I guess, like, as I've learned, I'm just like, we have to do quality. We have to keep the quality really high. And I think that's why I'm in business too, has been, we're not the most professional agency. I don't come from an agency background. We're not the most robust marketing company that everyone's heard of or anything like that. But, in 7 years, Marknology is now an Amazon agency partner, like, out of the scratch, like, no one does that. You know, we've had clients for 7 years when our agency just turned 7 in August. Like, we've had people stay with us. And how do you get that? You know, my dad always says, way easier to sell something that you believe in is actually going to be helpful to people, or that you believe in the product yourself. And I always took that to heart, to be like, what we're selling, what I'm selling, if I am going to be selling, I have to actually believe that this will, you know, make people's lives better. You know, with our Airbnbs, it's like, would I live here? That's my standard. Like, would I live in this house or this place that we've created, you know, for guests? Would I be like, this is my home? And these things make, you know, it's up to those standards. So that's beautiful. I want to go into just like a little bit about kind of China and manufacturing locally and kind of some of those challenges, like competing in that space and some of the advantages. Before we do, reminder that today's episode is sponsored by our friends over at Helium 10. Helium 10 has over 300 tools to help you research, start, manage your business on Amazon. Get all the tools you need to run and grow your business by signing up at helium10.com. Hustlers get 50% off using code HUSTLE. And just for our listeners, like, you know, we get sponsors all the time. Helium 10 is one of the real ones. Like, if you've been in the Amazon space, I have used Helium 10 since the beginning. I use the whole software suite as far as what's available to Amazon sellers and people trying to find products to manufacture and sell on Amazon, whether you're tracking profits, whether you're looking at keywords, whether you're you know, trying to send follow-up reviews. Helium 10 is legit. Check them out. Helium10.com. Hustlers get 50% off by using code HUSTLE. Ben, just I kind of like led us on just a little bit right before that sponsor spot, but what's it like, you know, competing? I think a lot of people would be like, well, you know, how do you stay affordable in the U.S.? How are you able to keep quality products and compete with China that's making everything super cheap? Has the pandemic helped you or hurt you? Give me some kind of just background on jumping into a space that's been predominantly dominated for years and years and years by, you know, cheaper is better. How are you able to compete, and how has that worked to your advantage?
Sure. So we manufacture products globally. So many of them are made in the U.S., but we also make product in Southeast Asia as well as Europe.
Okay.
And the reason that we are able to compete is because our team is 6. We're getting ready to probably add the 7th teammate. And we don't have layers and layers and layers of overhead baked into every product. I believe that we've accomplished with 6 people what would probably take a 35 or 40 person company to do. And we do that because everybody believes in our mission, which is good product, low pricing, sell a bunch, and, you know, just to kind of all encompassing, do the next right thing. So I would much, much rather have 6 people that are all going the same direction, that all believe in what we're doing, and have 40 people and have burnouts who are just showing up to collect a paycheck. Like, I have no interest in that, or I don't have time for it.
100%, 100%. I can relate to that. Okay, mm-hmm. So smaller team, just saying, like, lean. And, you know, are you, like, competing oftentimes for those same jobs. You get jobs because you're local. Like, I definitely feel like in the last year, maybe it's been the pandemic, maybe it's been different factors, but I've definitely gotten three or four brands to partner with us that for the first time, I felt like being from the Midwest and being from Kansas City wasn't a disadvantage to me in this tech space, in this, like, you know, growing e-commerce space. It was, we want to work with a firm that's out of the Midwest, that's localized, that can talk to us in our native, like, language and dialect, you know, so to speak. And, you know, they've been working with New York agencies or San Francisco agencies, or we're making a change, and legitimately were finding us and seeking us out because we were in the Midwest. And that's a first to me. It's always been kind of a disadvantage when it comes to business in my short, you know, experience. Is being here locally in the Midwest been an advantage to getting kind of those connections and, you know, those first big clients, or does it not really even matter?
As far as who our customers are, that doesn't have any bearing on it. You know, I've always thought Kansas City, it's a great place to start a business. People have pretty good similar Midwestern values. And, you know, between Mizzou, KU, UMKC, there's a number of really good schools that we have talent to. But as far as location, that probably hasn't really had much of an effect on who we sell to.
Okay. I love that. And I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm a mentor at UMKC. Several of our permanent employees now started out as interns, you know, from UMKC. There was a lot more of that happening before the pandemic, just being more involved with the different schools, Missouri State University. I'm on a design thinking board there. So we do have a lot of schools. And for me, that's been a big focus to just, like, let those students know I'm here. So they're not out, you know, there's like, hey, there's some local companies doing cool stuff here. That's why I honestly got involved with the schools, was letting them know, hey, you know, there's a local company here in Kansas City doing e-commerce, if you guys have, you know, interest into that space. Where are you guys going next? What is next for, you know, Mighty Good, outside of just making more product, and you've got two divisions going? Is it to continue to solidify those? Is it, you know, to continue to expand the product line? What are you excited about?
I'm excited about what I think we can accomplish in 21. Last year we had pretty substantial growth, finished the year a little bit under 50 million. Our goal is to double this year in revenue, and I'm confident that we'll accomplish it. And it kind of goes back to serving the customer, doing what we say we're going to do, give them good product. They're going to keep buying, and it's going to open the doors for additional opportunities, either with them or through their network. And so I'm pumped about our growth. I want to see how far we can go.
Do you only deal with, like, you know, we've talked about some of these really big, you know, retailers that you're working with, and, you know, some of the volume they're doing and the stores you're in, you know, entry point. Like, what size, you know, let's say we've got Amazon sellers that are just trying to create their first product, down to, you know, listeners there, down to companies that are trying to diversify their manufacturing, to people looking for that first manufacturer, maybe, or just covering that gambit, you know, who are you looking to work with? You know, what size, how does someone get, if someone was interested in contacting you about some of the stuff you guys can make, what's that process like?
So as far as what we do, we actually do, as far as product creation and what we make, we do all of that in-house. Okay. I have been contacted before by people that are interested in us selling their products. And, you know, depending on schedule, I'm usually happy to have a conversation with them. But the coming up with the idea is the easy part.
Yeah, exactly.
The execution, and the time it takes and the investment it takes, that's the hard part. And so for us, I have superb confidence in our team that we can create new products. We do outstanding branding and marketing in-house, and we've seen products sell well at market. And so I would say for people that are just getting started, like, as I said earlier, like, if a dummy like me can do it, anybody can do it. It's just, you know, don't quit before the miracle happens. Because in my experience, entrepreneurship, it's not like the movie The Social Network, where it's like, hey, we got an idea, you know, it blows out. Like, you know, $1 million isn't cool. You know, $1 billion is cool. I mean, I think $1 million is pretty fucking cool still.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it kind of gets glamorized, which, I mean, there's a lot of great aspects about this life. But there's a lot of things that just absolutely suck. And being able to balance those highs and lows, because literally within a day, we can just have huge swings. And it's, you know, not freaking out when something, you know, like last time we were supposed to talk, when shit's hitting the fan. But when things are doing great, don't believe your own press clippings. There's always more to learn. There's always ways to get better. And so,
Gary V talks about that. You know, he's like, the way to not care about the haters is to not care about the praise either. And just, you know, be like, I still got stuff to work on. I'm still doing my thing. So not get too high or too low. You know, and I was telling my girlfriend, you know, like something really hard about this life that I don't think a lot of people understand is like, I'm like, I make more decisions in a given week than people make in a quarter. With a normal life. And there's this exchange of what we're trading is safety for freedom, essentially. You know, and so there's this level of like, I have no safety, I have no security, you have all this freedom, but if it's not balanced, it's just, you know, overweighted one way. And so it can become very heavy. It can be, you know, like, it's also like, you know, she might be like, I'm relating it to life a little bit to anyone listening, but it's like, you know, she might be upset about something that happened between us and kind of just like holding that thing and, you know, wanting to dwell on it, wanting to work on it, wanting to bring it up, wanting to communicate through it. And I'm like, from my end, I'm like, in a given day, I have to be so, you know, focus on the positives, like, you know, find the wins, because there's so many ups and downs that it's like, you just have to literally like move on. You know, keep doing good work, not think about that heavy day too much, or not think about that problem that hits you early in the day, or it will ruin every other conversation, every other decision you make that day. And so you kind of have to get in this habit of just execution. You know, that can be a drain on the mental health, because you're not having this time to really process a lot of these things, because you get so fast at just like focusing on the good, staying positive, like not riding the wave, so to speak, and just being like, you know, methodical in the way that you handle decisions and emotions in some ways around entrepreneurship. And I think that that's something that, you know, my mental health over the last, like, you know, 7 years of being an entrepreneur, and we just hit $1 million in revenue as a service-based company. Thank you. Actually, last month, the pandemic was like an interesting year. Scaling a service-based business is a lot. We're at 15 people. And so, you know, I'm in the people business. I'm in a different business now than I was when I was just helping sellers grow their businesses on Amazon. But it's been like, you know, these mental, when you say like, you don't encourage anyone just to jump all in, these mental challenges you push yourself to not give up they don't just come about in our normal daily life. That's why people are like putting up memes about the 9-to-5. It's not that we have any judgment toward the 9-to-5ers. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people have awesome careers that they love. It's that in the 9-to-5, they don't have this understanding of when you go all in and you have to rely on yourself. Like, what else do we have in America that's like that anymore? I mean, like, we're not really, you know, you're not forced to go to war. It's, for the most part, it's volunteer people signing up to be in our military here in the U.S. We don't have these things. We don't get in fights and all these kinds of things. People press charges and lawsuits. And so just as people, you're like, you don't really have all these things that challenge you to an extreme level. And so you're just going through life. Then you jump into entrepreneurship. That's like, it is literally sink. You've like forced yourself to sink or swim kind of thing. And it really just creates a lot of grit. Like for me, it was not knowing how to communicate, not knowing how to be organized, not knowing how to not emotionally be invested in every decision or every rejection that happens in business. You know, it was like all these personal areas that needed growth, I guess, in my own life to be able to just like move forward in business. An entrepreneur, like entrepreneur life, will push your mental, your mental capacity. And I like if anyone's ever like seen my Instagram or followed some of my content, it's very much what you're saying, Ben. Where it's like, I try not to call myself a dummy, okay? Like, but I'm no genius by any means either, or no business savant or anything like that. And I put it out there because I'm like, look, if I can be in debt, I was going through a divorce, in debt. Was just trying to figure out a way to make a buck, and then found something I loved, which was e-commerce. But I'm like, look, if I can build this, if I can do this, if I can retire my mom, if I can find freedom and find passion, then anyone can do it. You just have to have grit and relentlessness, So, I get passionate about those things specifically, but I think that those are the things that I'm the most proud of sitting here on the other side of it, is like really hitting those things that made me resist, or I hadn't dealt with them in my life yet. And then, entrepreneurship pushed me to grow.
Absolutely. And, if it's 9 to 5, if it's volunteering, if it's doing your own thing, I believe any work is commendable and something to be respected.
Of course.
What I like about kind of what we do is, we do things, that most companies can't. The ability to do that with a small team, to accomplish things that national corporations can't do, with nowhere near the resources that they have, and in a time frame that they couldn't touch, is something that makes me proud. But it's also what gives us value. It's being able to do that is why people will do business with us.
Yeah, that's the real competition, right? It's like, I used to be really into sports. I used to be into like a lot of things like that. I'm very competitive. And I'm like, I just spend very little time watching sports anymore. I like playing because it's a dual thing and I'm getting exercise. But like just to watch other people compete isn't for me anymore, because I found like the ultimate competition. In some cases, like I'm an old bartender, painter, warehouse worker, security guard. I've done it all. Going through school and different things, and I'm legitimately giving companies that are worth $100 million, or they do $100 million in revenue a year, I'm giving them advice when it comes to e-commerce. And we won't even talk about imposter syndrome in some of those conversations when you're like first learning, but being able to do what we do as a small team, as a family team, I have a lot of pride in that, and knowing. And not, it's not just like they need us, blah, blah, blah. Like we know what we're talking about, and we're small. And we've accomplished amazing things, taking companies from, 400K in 2 years to 18 million, from zero to a million. We've done like really cool things, in the e-commerce space, specifically around Amazon, and knowing that, is a pretty cool feeling. Like that's where we definitely hang our hat and have pride as a team is, we're small, we're out of Kansas City, but we kick some ass.
Absolutely. And just the ability to be nimble, depending if this is on video, or not, like right now I look like a roadie for the Grateful Dead.
I love it.
We're pretty casual here. Now, if we're meeting with customers, I will be suited up. I like the ability that people can come here that they're comfortable and they can do the best work they can do. And we might be small and there might be a lot bigger companies with a lot more money, but that we can compete and enough times we can win against them.
I love it. Ben, if you were at a show, I definitely would come up to you and ask you if you had weed. 100%. I'd be like, he's got a Grateful Dead shirt on. I'm going to say what's up. That's like a sign, I think.
It's usually the tell.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a code. That's a code among thieves, I think, or something. Like it's the Grateful Dead shirt. But no, I love it. I got a local company I got to recommend to you for headbands. They just came out with some for my roommate. He has kind of like longer hair, wears a headband a lot like you. They're pretty cool. Kansas City company. We're running out of time, and I want to cover just real quick, like where people can reach you, where people can get in contact with you, where people can find you if they want to reach out about some of the stuff we talked about. I'll have some of that in the notes, but do you have any social handles? Do you prefer email? Like what's the best way for any of the listeners to get in contact with you?
Best way is just go to our website, mightygoodsolutions.com, and you'll be able to reach out to me through there. Okay. And then, we have Mighty Good on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. But we don't do a ton of marketing because the customers that we serve have invested quite a bit of money in either owning their piece of the healthcare space, so they own the relationships with the hospitals, and so they're buying product from them, or in retail, our retailers, you know, some of them have 150 million unique shoppers coming through per week. And so if we can make good product, put it on the shelf, you will be able to find us there.
You guys heard it from him himself. I will have his contact in the notes. Ben, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And we have to connect both from the Northland. You know, I'm not trying to get in a boxing ring with you by any means, but I used to do MMA back in college before everything blew up. And I really enjoyed that and just kind of the discipline and, you know, the hobby of it and really understanding, like, you know, what it teaches you. So we're going to have to connect about some of that. Grab a beer. Once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was Helium 10, cutting edge software that helps you grow business on Amazon. Start your own journey by visiting helium10.com to scale your business on Amazon today. Remember to use Hustle for half off. I really have used this software for going on almost 10 years. If anyone has any questions on it or wants a recommendation around Helium 10, how to use it in regards to your e-commerce and Amazon, please let me know. I can be found on Instagram at Andrew Morgans, LinkedIn, marknology.com, of course. Ben, happy Monday. We got this started early. We got content made early. You know, we're going to get into it, but it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
You too, Andrew. Thanks for your time. I really enjoyed it. And so I would just leave, you know, listeners with, you can do it. You know, it's going to be hard. It's going to suck at times, but if you don't give up, you can get to where you want to go.
100% relentlessness, I think, is the hashtag for today's episode. Like, if you're thinking about that, it's just like, if you go all in, if you're relentless, if you surround yourself with people like Ben's wife, and that first partner he made that just like really helped believe in him and push him to the next level. Like, that's super, super, super important. I mean, you obviously have to be able to do it yourself as far as the relentlessness and the mindset, but surrounding yourself with people that believe in you and push you to, you know, accomplish it, I think is also important. And, you know, we can do awesome shit out here. So I love it. And anyone listening, thanks again for listening to the show. Always appreciate your attention. You guys have a great day.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.